Nice to have everyone back here as we get ready for Giants baseball. Well, fans, there are certain books, and I always tell you that this is one that you should read. It's an important book in the history of the United States as well as baseball. And we have one today that fits that description. It's called Stolen Dreams, the 1955 Cannon Street All-Stars, and Little League's Baseball Civil War. The book is written by Chris Lamb. Chris is the chair of the Department of Journalism and Public Relations at Indiana University, Indianapolis. He's the editor, author, or co-author of 12 books, including Conspiracy of Silence, Sports Writers, and the Long Campaign to Desegregate Baseball, Sports Journalism, A History of Glory, Fame, and Technology, and From Jack Johnson to LeBron James, Sports, Media, and the Color Line, all put out by Nebraska, as well as this book as well. Hey, Chris, it's great to have you with us. Nice to have you with us today.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Marty. Thanks for your interest in the book.
Yeah, Chris, I say this to the audience, and they know how many of these books I like to have on and review. This is one that is a must-read for everybody, and I'm going to let you tell a little bit of this story, The Stolen Dreams, the 1955 Cannon Street All-Stars, and Little League Baseball Civil War. And you do a great job of talking about history, baseball, and what happened, incredibly, to these young people.
Well, thanks. When the 11 and 12-year-olds on the Cannon Street YMCA All-Star team registered for a baseball tournament in Charleston, South Carolina in July 1955, it put the team and the forces of integration on a collision course with segregation, bigotry, and the Southern way of life. When the white teams refused to take the field with the Cannon Street All-Stars, it was the first black Little League team in South Carolina. The Cannon Street All-Stars win two tournaments by forfeit. And if they won the original tournament in Rome, Georgia, they would have advanced to the Little League World Series, which was their dream. But Little League officials in Rome ruled the team ineligible to play in the tournament because they had advanced by winning on forfeit and not on the rule, and not on the field, excuse me, denying the boys their dream of playing in the world in a Little League World Series. Now, this became a big national story for a few weeks, but then it faded and disappeared as Americans read of other civil rights stories, including the torture and murder of a 14-year-old Emmett Till. The story of the All-Stars is really about how racism scars the souls of black kids. The Cannon Street All-Stars spent decades trying to forget what happened to them in 1955, and then they spent the last couple decades or so telling people why their story matters and why they should be remembered like the generations of other blacks who lived invisible lives, not just in Charleston, but elsewhere in America, particularly in the South. Now, the story is part of the saga of centuries of bigotry in Charleston, where African-Americans were whipped, lynched, and raped, and where their lives were devalued, dehumanized, and forgotten, and how all of this shaped the city and its people from the arrival of slaves in the 1600s to the murder of nine blacks at the Emmanuel AME Church in 2015 and the removal of the statue of the white supremacist John C. Calhoun in 2020.
Boy, what a story. And, you know, as you tell the story, so people understand that here's a Little League team of kids and they go to a tournament and the white team say, hey, we're not going to play. So the white team's forfeit, and the black All-Stars are named the champions. Well, they go to the next tournament. Players won't play. The white players won't play, just kids. They won't play against the black All-Stars. And here's the forfeit. Now Rome, Georgia, which is the gateway to Williamsport, they say, well, you won the last two tournaments by forfeit, so you're ineligible to play in this one. And that is the story of what happens. But a couple of things you talked about, let's touch on them first so everybody understands. Charleston, South Carolina, and we think of the things that happened in Charleston in the 1600s, and this story fits that mold. Talk a little bit about Charleston, will you?
Well, Charleston, if you're going to focus on one city to tell a story of race in America, focus on Charleston because it's when the slaves first came. About half of all blacks in America have their roots in the harbor, the Charleston Harbor, where their ancestors were dragged here in bondage. This is where, you know, slaves, this is their first stop. A lot of them stayed and they had the awful work of working in the swamps of working for rice planters. It's also where the Civil War begins. The first shots of the Civil War are in Charleston Harbor. It becomes this area of great wealth because all these whites become wealthy off the backs of black slaves. And then afterwards it becomes poorer, but it still is sort of the beginning of all the stories of racism. And here, the fact that this baseball story, begins there, that this is the first black little league in the whole state. And there's integration in little league baseball in most states in America, but Charleston decided after Brown versus Board of Education that they were going to draw the line here, and they were not going to cross it. So this is really the story of Brown versus Board of Education played out by 11 and 12 year old, black baseball players.
So Little League Baseball says, well, you can't discriminate racially. And the white teams then decide to start their own league.
Yes.
How about that?
And
I never knew that. That's a good story.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Here's this idea, Marty, where you have the white parents, the white adults saying, well, we're not going to abide by the rules that we signed and we agreed to by putting our name on it that says Little League Baseball is going to be integrated. And then they create their own segregated league with the Confederate flag on the rule book, the Confederate flag on the uniforms, and they break away from Little League Baseball. And that's, if you live in the South, this is Dixie League Baseball. This is how Dixie League Baseball got started. And this is one of the largest youth organizations in the country, and it got it started off the tiers of the Cannon Street All-Stars.
Well, so what happens now? The Cannon Street All-Stars, of course, they're ruled ineligible for the Little League World Series, but the story goes on because they end up in Williamsport anyway. How about that?
Yeah, they do. What happens is that the head of Little League Baseball, the president of Little League Baseball, is a guy named Peter McGovern. He's the guy who says, well, our rules are you have to play. You can't advance on the field, or you can't advance by forfeit. You have to advance on the field, and that's not what happened. And so the Rome officials say, you can't play, you're ineligible. And Peter McGovern says, well, that's our rules too. And he says, well, it's done. I confirmed the Rome, Georgia officials. And he started, and then there's all this press, which is really fascinating and provocative because white mainstream press didn't cover race issues, but because it had to do with kids, that they jumped all over McGovern. And so McGovern says, well, hey, I have this idea, why don't I invite you all to the finals of the Little League World Series? And it seems to be well intended, but it's kind of cruel.
So the kids get to be there to watch the finals of the Little League World Series, and of course they're not allowed to play in it. Well, so the team goes, and what about the research for this book and the interviews? Because 1955 is not that long ago. I'm sure there are people around who experienced this. But tell us about putting the book together.
Yeah, it's a lot of newspaper research, a lot of newspaper, a lot of archives, a lot of memoirs and people's pages. And then I talked to a number of the players. One guy is a guy named John Rivers, who grew up right there in the Charleston Peninsula with segregation, and he became a very successful architect. And he's one of them. And I talked to a few others, and their memories, they still remember this stuff. I don't know if you've had a traumatic memory when you were 11. Well, it's been frozen in your consciousness. And they remember going to the Little League to watch the World Series. Now, why would you go 700 miles to watch somebody else, to watch white kids play out your dreams. Well, that's sort of the odd genius of the president of the Cannon Street YMCA named Robert Morrison. And he also knew if I can keep this story going in the press, I can continue to get people interested in, I can have white folks who had sort of ignored racial discrimination, and they'll come forward and they will see how sympathetic we are. So so the players are all introduced. And as they say, the fans who know about this story are yelling, "Let them play, let them play." And they're standing up, and the players remember this almost 70 years later, standing up, and they're slamming their feet down on the bleachers, on the metal bleachers, and they're yelling, "Let them play." And the guys on the team still remember this. John Rivers says, "I can still remember this to this day." And then they go back to their seats, and I think it finally dawns on them that they're not going to play. And they're 11 and 12. They don't know any better. And then what's it like to watch other people live out your dream? And there's this photo that's the photo on the cover. And it just shows the players just staring out into the camera, and no one is smiling. And it just breaks your heart.
Boy, and Emmett Till is murdered on the team's trip back to Charleston. How about that?
Yeah, they don't know it at the time, but they learn, because John Rivers tells me that after that point, his mother tells them, because Till is murdered because the story is he flirts with a white woman, all of this is dubious, but Till is just tortured and murdered and John Rivers says at that point that whenever he sees a white woman walking down the street, he crosses the street. He does not want to put himself in. And imagine that, you're a kid. And there's no happy ending in this. Is they get on this bus and they're devastated.
Well, the book Stolen Dreams, the 1955 Cannon Street All-Stars and Little League Baseball Civil War. And it sort of spawned this Dixie Little League World Series that they went to for years. Is the Dixie League still around, the Dixie League Baseball?
Yeah, it is. It's in great shape. 200,000 kids play Dixie Youth Baseball every year.
Wow. Yeah. How did you learn about this story? Of course, Chris Lamb is with us. He's the author of this book. And I'll tell you again, now you understand why I say it's a must-read. And for baseball fans, for the history of the United States, and for a story that should not be forgotten. How did you learn about the story?
I learned about it from a guy named Gus Holt, who became the team's historian. He was a couple years behind these guys in school, and he was, in fact, living in Hawaii when it happened. His dad was in the Army. And he was a racial activist whose son played Dixie League Baseball in the 1990s because there was no Little League. But Dixie Youth Baseball became integrated in the 60s or 70s. And his son makes the All-Star team, and he puts on the uniform, and he comes out to show his father, and his father's just beaming until he sees there's a Confederate flag on his kid's uniform. And he just goes nuts. He goes apoplectic, and basically says, what the heck happened? So he confronts racism in the city's rec league, and then he learns about the Cannon Street All-Stars. He organizes a reunion for the Cannon Street team. He learns about the racist history of Dixie Leagues. He brings back Little League Baseball to Charleston. And just when it looks like he's pulled off the impossible, he's going to take the players for a reunion in Williamsport, he learns his teenage son has incurable brain tumor.
Wow.
And he stays at home, and he runs the league, and he keeps planning the reunion. And his son Lawrence dies shortly after he graduates from high school, and Gus Holt's life goes on, with this. And just it was all because it was an only child, an only son, and he had passed baseball on to Lawrence, and he's just devastated. But he continues to fight the good fight, and he ends up eventually being able to go with the whole team back to Williamsport in 2002, and they're given they're honored before Little League World Series game, and they're given their state banner for winning the state championship in 1955, and some hearts are mended there.
Wow. I wonder what Lindsey Graham has to say about that. Huh. Well, I'll do a little politicking here.
No, that's okay.
It's an amazing story, and I'm glad that you could tell it. What kind of a response have you gotten on the book?
Well, it comes out April 1st, which is an odd day for a serious book to come out. So I'll find out more. But I, you know, what I've heard and the people who have read it, everybody seems to have been really excited. I think it strikes a nerve because, you know, because it affects kids. And I think that's the thing that this book does that maybe other books don't do, is how do you kill dreams? And how do you scar the souls of kids who really grow up thinking that it doesn't matter how good you are, you'll never be good. You'll never be as good as the most incompetent of whites.
Well, and baseball's always prided itself on it doesn't matter who you are. It's between the lines, as they like to say, and that's what it's all about. But not in 1955. With the Cannon Street All-Stars. The book is put out by Nebraska, and they've done a great job with you, Chris, on this book. We have our independent bookstores, The Book Tree, up in Montclair. David, I'm sure, has this one. I hope it's in the window. But this is a must-read, and it's been a pleasure having you on. And as the season goes on here, we'll catch up with you and see how the story has progressed. But a pleasure having you on the show, and I'm very happy that you have done this book, and it has educated me, and I think this is something that we should never forget. So congratulations.
Thank you, Mari, and it's been a thrill talking with you. Thank you so much.
All right, that is Chris Lamb. Stolen Dreams, the 1955 Cannon Street All-Stars, and Little League Baseball, Civil War. Wow. All right, more coming up, KNBR 680, 104.5, the sports leader.